Here are some interesting alternatives for Daf Yomi. The first recording is of today's Daf from the 13th cycle, which is done within about a half an hour. And that's followed by a very fast review, about 5 minutes, allowing you to review the entire Daf quickly. Followed by the same Daf from either the previous cycle's Daf Yomi, or perhaps even from 2 cycles ago, Daf Yomi. Different ambience, usually done in greater detail. You can choose one or the other as your first Daf, the other one as a review Daf. But whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you Mibein Chumot Yerushalayim, is Daf Ayin Vov, and we're holding on the Halakha Mishnah on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beit. Va'ot Klal Acher Amru, continuing with our Klal Gadol, which is more applicable than this Klal, there's also a specific general rule regarding that very last Malacha, which you might have forgotten about. It's called Hotzah. And that has its own rule. And that rule is to determine the shiur and the type of thing which would be chayav for removing from one rishus to another, or the arba'amos brishutai arabim. The klal is kol ha'kasher lahatznia, something that is generally viewed as a usable material for usage of humans, and matzni'in kamohu, and the amount of material that you'd be taking on Shabbat would be the equivalent of something that if it were left in a container, you'd put it back and you wouldn't throw it out into the garbage. And then you go ahead and otzio b'Shabbat, then you'd be chayav chatat alav. But if it's not kosher la'atzniyah, that generally it's not something that people keep, or it's in matzni'in kamohu, or it's not, it may be something that's useful, but this amount is generally thrown out, and you wouldn't keep it, and then you're otzio b'Shabbat, eno chayav ela hamatznio. Then you wouldn't be chayav unless you personally had gone out and set it aside for your own particular use. Then the fact that you set it aside is itself gives it the chashivut that if it's removed from one rishut to another, that you're chayav. Okay, let's take a look at what type of thing that would be. Kol hakasher la'atznia. Well, what does that mean? If somebody's using something, obviously he's being motzi something, then there's a purpose in that itself. So what would be something that is not kosher la'atznia? Now, there's got to be a particular reason that it's not kosher la'atznia, because otherwise, it doesn't make sense. If you are taking it out, then what is happening? It must have a use. Lafuke mai. Rav Papa says it would be lafuke dam nida, to actually move around. Now you think, well, obviously, what use possibly is menstrual blood? We'll see in a minute. Marukva amar lafuke atse ashera. It would mean, as opposed to something which you're not allowed to be nana from, that is considered to be out of the set of things that are meaningfully moved on Shabbat. So, mandi amar dam nida. It's obvious that if you're looking around for something that wouldn't normally be moved, then alachat kama v'kama, that's something that you're not even allowed to be used, is for sure not included in the set of things that are mechayev you for moving. I'm saying moving as otsa, obviously I don't mean moving as muksa. Man diomar atse ashera, but if you think that the mission is coming lafuke, something that is not permissible to be motzi, a dam nida, if he's motzi it, is not considered to be useless. Because mitzna leleshunra, look, I mean, there are people who have pets that will eat human blood. And why would the other man diomar say that this is not considered to be usable? Because kivon d'cholsha lo mitzna le, they believe that a person whose blood was devoured by an animal would affect the individual's health, or he would become weak. This mission doesn't work out according to Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon says that actually lo amru kol ha'shiurin alalo ela lamatznihim. So when it says over here that there's a general rule as to what is considered to be the shiur of hotza'ah, there is no general rule. According to Rabbi Shimon, these are minimal shiurim. If in fact you went ahead and you set this aside for yourself, then this would be the minimum that we would say is reasonable. Anything less than that would be something, and we're going to get to what the shiurim are. Anything less than that would be something that we would say is batla da'ato. The fact that you want it is meaningless. It's got to be at least something that other people could relate to. Now, obviously, there's going to be different shiurim between rich and poor. Somebody who is poor would put aside even a little bit that remains in a bottle. Someone who's rich wouldn't bother. And that's exactly why we need to give the minimum shiur over here, that if a person would be matzniyad, then not like our Mishnah, where everybody would be chayiv, even an usher, according to Rabbi Shimon, it would only be the one who's matznia would require the shear. Now Tosfos points out that this explanation, which is Rashi's explanation later in Rabbi Shimon, doesn't seem to jive with the way that Rashi understands Rabbi Shimon here, where we're saying that it's not to Rabbi Shimon, because the Mishnah is saying kol kosher la'atznia, and it has a shear that most people would be sufficiently concerned with it to be matznia it. Anybody would be chayiv, which is mashma, even a rich person who generally wouldn't care. But that's not like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the shiurim that are mentioned are only for regular people, but not for people to whom this wouldn't mean very much, which is a completely different way of looking at it, so that the shiurim actually are universal shiurim, not only to someone who's matznia. And it doesn't suggest that the two pirushim are not contradictory, and explains what we'll get into more when we talk about the shita of Rabbi Shimon directly. But that here, the way to understand it best is to look at Rabbi Shimon, that element of Rabbi Shimon, that the shiurim over here are in the Mishnah universal even to Ashirim, and to Rabbi Shimon are universal for people of that class. V'choshe eino kasher latzniya, something that is not generally kept. Amar Rabbi Elazar, when it says in the Mishnah that if a guy went ahead and was matzniya something that isn't generally kept, then only he would be chayiv. That's not like Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Why? The Tanya Kwalama Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Ko Shenu Kasher Latznia Ve'im Matznin Kamohu. Things that generally people do not use, and this particular guy decides he's got a particular use for it, V'Shalazeh V'Yitznio, and then someone else comes, opens up this guy's cabinet, takes this out and moves it into his new house or whatever, he, the one who was motzi, would be nitchayev zeh b'machshava shal zeh. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we're not looking at shiurim for the purpose of the one who is motzi particularly, that he needed to be matzniya. The idea of hatzna'ah is that it is machshev this, because somebody wants it. Once he's machshev it, anyone who is motzi it on Shabbos is being motzi something that has a shiur for human usefulness. Not only the person who was matznia. It's a very different approach to the meaning of the idea of hatzna'ah. What you'll notice is everybody's using this word hatzna'ah. That is to say, it's something that would be capable, I'd want to keep it. So the question is, the different levels, first of all, is it a universal shiur, as long as one person would want it, one class of people, poor people would want it, sick people would want it, or so on. That is machayev everybody. That's one question, which is the machlokas between our Mishnah and, as we said, Rabbi Shimon later on. And then the question is whether the relationship is directly to the act of the hatzna'ah. Since I think this is valuable, so to me, when I take it out, that's sufficient to shear. Or is hatzna'ah a way of making things something that a human would use, and therefore, since someone was matzniya, another person would take it out. But we'll see more of this, of course, as we go along in these next two problems.
That specific item.
Yeah, right, for him, and the other guy.
Yeah, right, yeah,
continues the Rehelek Mishnah, Hamotzi Tevin. So what are these shiurim that we're talking about? All of these shiurim. Which shiurim? Well, here's some example. Somebody takes out Tevin. So he's taking out this raw grain. Then it would be the shiur. I mean, a human wouldn't eat it like that. But an animal would. So a human who's going to feed an animal, if he takes out the shear, which animal eats tevin? A para, a cow eats tevin. So kimalopi para, the shear therefore would be the size that would be one bite for a para. So you could feed it something. If you take out atza, we'll see that is camel feed. And a camel takes more at a time than a para does. And we're going to see that atza is actually a mixture of various types of kitniot. It's legumes mixed with grains and the kash that comes on the legume, which is clearly different than kash that comes on tevin. The shear over there would be what would normally be fed to a gamal. So it's below pi gamal. And if you take out amir, so amir is the actual kash that is left. There's two different types of kash. There's the kash that's left in the round, and there's the kash that comes on off the top piece. When you cut it, that's the thinner kash that's on top. So that would be the shear of a telez mouth, which is much smaller. Asabim, you have grasses. Grasses you feed to a kid goat. Aleishum vale betzalim, but there are grasses that are for humans. If you're talking about garlic or onion leaves, that would be, if they're fresh, lachim, the shear would be kigro geret, that's the shear of a dried pig, and that is the normal shear that is used by humans, because this is human usage. And if they're yaveshim, however, if it's dry, then humans don't usually eat that, then the shear would be also kamo pigidi, that you would feed to a small, a young goat. None of these shiurim would be mitzara of one with the other, because the rule is, if they're members of different sets, and how is that expressed in having different shiurim? So if they're members of different sets, it makes no sense to be mitzarif them, because you're being mitzarif things that don't go together. In which case, you'd have to have a shiur of each one. This is usable, or this is usable. The two together are still half usable. So what would be the meaning of being mitzarif them? By the way, what is atza in the Mishnah? My atza? Omer of Yehuda, this is teven, but it's teven of mine kitniot. It's true that it's actual seeds, but it's seeds of legumes, not of grains. Ki atar of dimi omar, hamotzi teven kimlo pi para ligamal. How about if you take out teven, which normally is the shear of a pi para, and you take it out, that shear. However, you don't take it out to feed to a para. You take it out to feed to a gamal. Now, but for the gamal, it's not enough, because the shear of the gamal would require more. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, it doesn't matter, it'd still be chayav. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, no, you'd be potter, because it's defined by the purpose of the malacha. Now, but we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said before he went to bed. You know, but after he woke up in the morning, and it just took it over at night, it changed his mind. And the tzafra in the morning, harabe had charota. Says Rabbi Yosef, well, it's a darn good thing he had charota, boy, because that was pretty dumb. Rabbi Yosef Shaper, ova dahadar. It's good that he had charota. I mean, what is he thinking? Halo chazi legamal. You did a hotzah that ultimately has no purpose, and therefore isn't choshiv to be the malacha. Amalei abaya adarabba. It's exactly the opposite. The way he was thinking originally makes much more sense. I don't know why he changed his mind. Actually, kidami kor mistavra. Because since it's chazi lepora, the shiurim are not defined by the particular purpose for which you brought it out. The shiurim are defined by the usage. That's where we talk about it in terms of matzniya. This is a shiur of teven that is considered to be of note. Why it's of note? I don't care why. It's of note because it's for pora. It's of note, okay? But what do I care why you took it out? That isn't the point. You took out a shear of note on Shabbat and you moved it from one rishut to another. I have no idea why he would want to change his mind once he understood that obvious fact. In fact, when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, you guys get it all wrong. Nobody would argue about that. Obviously, if you're Motzi Teven Kimlo Pi Para LeGamal, who would think that you're potter and that it's defined by the specific purpose of your otzah? I mean, that's the whole meaning of the previous Mishnah, that it's Matzni'in Kamohu. Nobody ever argued about that. It's the exact opposite. The question is, if you take out less than the required amount of the usual usage for a thing, so usually atzah is camel feed, no self-respecting cow would be seen eating camel feed unless she's very hungry. All right, then we'll make do even with whole wheat. So in that case, the question is, if you took it out to feed a very hungry para, now it's still not matzni and kamol, but the question is whether the purposes of the particular hotzah would be sufficient to be machayev you, despite the fact that this is not normally the shear that's your matzniya. That's the machloket. And in fact, the machloket was in the opposite direction that you had it. The ipka itma, the Rabbi Yochanan said potter in that case, on the contrary, because the whole point is what is the shear that your matzniya kamo, not what is the purpose of the hotzah. Whereas Reish Lakish says you're chayev. Rabbi Yochanan says you're potter because, look, the fact that in a pinch you can get a para to eat this, it does not define the shear of the achilah of a para. So we don't call that to be para food, and therefore we do not look at the shear as what is meaningful for a para. Because it isn't meaningful for a para just because you can get it to clamp its mouth around this. That's not called achilah. Reish Lakish omer chayav. Because achila ayyadei atchak shema achila, and therefore we can use the shear for a para as if this was a meaningful hotza'ah, since it was your purpose in the hotza'ah.
Maybe she was pregnant. Pregnancy creates all kinds of cravings.
So if you took out ice cream, that was big enough for sure. Yeah, no, you're right. Omir Gimlopi Tleh. Gimlopi Tleh. But there's a braita that says that Amir, the shear of Amir, is actually the shear of a grogeret. Well, it happens to be that a grogeret, which is the normal shear of Adam, is exactly the same size as Gimlopi Tleh. The reason that the Tana, as Tosfos explains, and Bitle explains, the reason that Tana stresses Gimlopi Tleh is because you would be misled into thinking that the basis of the shear is that it's human food. And you'd say, but nobody eats that. And you'd be right. It happens to be coincidentally that it works out to be the same shear as what a human would eat. But it's not because a human eats it. It's because it's a shear that is roi to feed your... Mary had a little lamb. Ale shum va'ale betzalim. If they're lachim, said the Mishnah, kigro geret, because that's human. V'yaveshim kimlo piagdi. And they would not be mitzaref, and this is the point we want to concentrate on, they could not be mitzaref with one another because they're members of different sets, as indicated by the different shiur. Shalosh shavu b'shiureihem.
I always put onions and garlic together.
Any.
Dry and wet.
No, dry and any different grouping.
Even though a person would eat dry combined wet onions together.
Yeah, maybe he would, I don't know. If he would, so then it's Sama salad and it becomes Roy Ma'oda, but not because we're being mitzvah of different things. Although we said that it would not be mitzvah, don't make the mistake of thinking that that means it would not be mitzvah under any circumstances. What it means is only that ein mitzvahim lechamur shebehem. It means that you cannot use a thing which requires more of to be chayav to be mashlim the shear of something which requires less of, which is makes a lot of sense because then you'd be upping its usability. And how did you up its usability? But in the other direction, you could be mitzvah something that is very valuable and that requires only a little bit to be mashlim the amount of the thing that requires a lot of, because then it's for sure it should be able to be mashim. It's tarfim, lekal shebehem. Says the Gemara, but that's not never the point of the issue of not being mitzar of different sets. It has nothing to do whether it's kal or chomer. It has to do with the fact that these are two things which do not serve purposes together. Is there any direction of tziruf of things that come from different sets? I mean, the famous Mishnah in Kehilin, where it says, "Hatnan, habeged shlosha al shlosha." In order for beged to be mitzvah, to be a shear of tumat midras, for a zof to use for lying on, it requires three tvachim by three tvachim. A sock requires four tvachim by four tvachim. If it's skin, it's five tvachim by five tvachim. If it's a mafat, which is made out of reed, so it's a reed mat, which is even less choshev than something that's made out of sackcloth, it requires six tvachim by six tvachim. Now, there is a braita that says that actually any two things that are near each other here in this list, is the way Tosfos understands it, could be mitzaref with each other because they're close enough to be a valid connection to one another. So there's begin and sak, or sak and or and mapatz. These things would be mitzarev zemza. And Rabbi Shimon came along and said, you know, that makes no sense. But I'll tell you why they're mitzarev. Matam mipnei shiru uyin litame moshav. The reason is because since, now Tosfos' pshat here is easier to see than what Rashi does with it. Since there is a shear, says Tosfos, for tumat moshav would mean that normally when we talk about midrash, we're talking about something that a zav would lie down on. However, if somebody makes a patch on the mardat of a chamor, so that he'll have a place to sit on, then it would be makabel tuma of sitting, all of them would be the same shear. And that requires a small shear, even tefach al tefach. Since they all have one area in which they share the same shear, therefore, if they're suitable to tie together, to connect, they're mitzaref. But that's the only reason that you could be mitzaref them at all. Otherwise, you cannot be mitzaref them, because then they have nothing in common. Rashi understands that what it means of your ruina tami moshav means that if you put any two together in patchwork, they would still be part of the same patch. So that's considered to be, since for a chamor you don't care what it's made out of. Look, I mean, doesn't it look a little ridiculous? A patchwork mardam? Really, it's a donkey, for heaven's sakes. You know, so since nobody cares, so there are areas in which the tzirif works. Tosfos says there are areas in which you share the same shear, which is really more focused on the issue of our sugya. Okay, but what does that teach you? Now think about that comment of Rabbi Shimon here on the Braita, in the Braita. That shows you that the time is the ruin of Tamei Moshak. It's only because they have this thing in common, okay? But if they wouldn't be royal at Tamei Moshav, we wouldn't say, well, you can go in the direction of the Chomor, that the Chomor could be Mashlim, the Kaal. Who would have said such a thing? So where would we get such a thing from Lagabi Shabbat? So we would not say that there's any tziruf whatsoever. Omar Rava, there is something that would be shared in this year. And you know what that is? If somebody has a store, he's got an animal feed store, so he's going to put out a little bit in this window to show here is, you know, let's say 5 ounces of Amir, 5 ounces of Tevin, 5 ounces of the Atza, and so on and so forth. It'll all be the same shear in order for it to be noticeable, or according to Rashi's pshat, he'd like to have all of these things in the same container, because otherwise it's just going to get blown away by the wind. So therefore he puts a big, heavy amount of it, which is mixed. So if in that sense, you would put them together just like you would have put a tloy, a patchwork, on a chamor's back. And now our president can be marshalim. There we go. Hamotzi ochlin, for human food, the shear would always be kibro geret, and therefore they would be mitzvah from zemzeh, because really you can make a salad out of all kinds of things and put them together. So it doesn't require a shear of a geret of any one particular food, and they're all shavah b'shirim. Now, the shear, however, does not include shells, pits, stems, or other parts, let's say, of grain, subin, morsan. Suban is the actual chaff that you'd be getting rid of normally before you turn it into flour. Mursan is the part that's left behind after sifting. There's thicker parts of the grain that are not literally chaff, but they get sifted out. All of these things are not included in this shear. We're talking about pure fruit or pure grain when we talk about the shear of a grogeret. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but there's one exception to that, and that is lentils. Because if you cook lentils, you make the lentil soup together with the shell of the lentil, and they're mashlim, even though themselves are not roy to eat, they are mashlim, the shear, for your soup. And that is considered to be part of your soup. That is mitztarif. You're telling me that subin and mursam is not mitztarif? Vatzan, does it not say that when it comes to challah, chameshet revaim kemach va'od, 5/4 plus, remember we've gone through the shearing, so there's 1 1/4 plus a shear of a reva is mechayev you for kemach and challah, and it includes specifically subin and mursam. How do you explain that? Why would it be considered to be part of your dough for challah making, but not part of your dough for the chashivas and the shear of Shabbos? Explain that to me. Amar Abaye, there's a big difference. Because when it comes to challah, what is the chiyuv? It's for milechem haaretz. That's what the pasuk says. Milechem haaretz means very earthy bread. Now, somebody who cannot afford the luxury of sifting through everything and making sure that it's very clean, he is willing to eat whole wheat bread with germinated. I mean, you know, that stuff wouldn't be worth very much, but he'd be willing to eat it. So organic bread. Little did he know that only the richest of the rich could afford that. But in those days, it was lechem haaretz. So since an ani would eat that, it's included in lechem haaretz. But remember that the shiurim of Shabbat are based on chashivut, what is considered to be valuable that people would want to keep. And therefore, for an ani who is ochel isablusa, even dirty things, you know, subin, mursan, okay, it's called lechem haaretz. But for Shabbat, where we're looking for chashivut in the shir, it's not called chashivut. Says Rabbi Yehuda, but this, as opposed to one case, which is lentils you'd put into your soup together with the klipim. Well, why only lentils? Well, what about green peas? Wouldn't you make pea soup without taking off the klipot? So why did he mention it? Adashim in pulin lo? Doesn't it say in a bright of the ferush? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chutz miklipe polin v'adashim. So Rabbi Yehuda seems to contradict himself. It is only two things. So you would normally like lentil soup or pea soup. And in both of those cases, you would leave on the shell of the lentil or the pea. Why did he only mention lentils? Ah, says Gemara, because it depends. Lokasha b'chadati v'abatika. Are you talking about fresh pea soup? Or are you talking about split pea soup? If you're talking about fresh pea soup, yes, you will leave on the klipa. But if you're talking about dried pea, you will not. Why not? My time alone, what's wrong? Om Rabbi Abu, because it looks like little bugs. They turn black when they get older. You're going to have people sitting there looking at every spoon in their soup. What the heck is that? So because they're nearing Kizvu, looks like it's full of little flies. It's disgusting. And you do not make soup like that. Hadron alach klal gadol. Hamotzi, continuing on now, that's food. How about liquids? Well, hamotzi yayin. I remember in those days, they would always, very, very heavy wine. That was a normal wine. So the shiur would be not the actual amount that you would have in the cup when you drink it, but the amount of concentrate that you would mix with water, which would make the cup that would be chashuv when you drink it. So this is a very important yesod, that what it is that you're chayav on hotzah, even though it's measured by what people drink, the part that's important to us is the part that could subsequently be rehydrated. So that's fine. Therefore, it would be far less. We're going to see that it's going to be 25% of what the shear of the cup would originally be. So how about milk, chalav? The shear of chalav would be kedei gimia, enough to give you a good swallow. Devash, kedei liten al akitit. And honey would be sufficient, not for food, but actually a small amount of honey is very useful to put on a sore, generally on a sore on an animal that's been caused by rubbing the harness or food, or Rashi says, a sore on the back of a foot, the back of a hand. Shemen, kedei lasuch ever katan. They used to use olive oil as something that would smooth the skin. So it would be a skin emollient. For a small tiny part of your body. Later on, we're going to see how small is small. That would be the shear of shemen. Mayim, kedei lashuf b'emet akilor. Water, again, it's a liquid, but it's not necessarily for drinking. It's a solvent. What would be a small amount of water that people use all the time? The amount of water that you need to mix in kilor. Now, kilor was used all the time at that point for eyes. They used to use a little eye wash for keeping their eyes healthy and bright, and that was called kilor, and would always be mixed with a little bit of water. That's a small amount of water. Other mashkim, which are not used as solvents, that this year would be revi'it. Now, things that you would normally be throwing out, sewer water, which is only usable for recycling, if it's talking about shofchim, believe it or not, it's also revi'it. And the Gemara is going to ask, what good is this water before it's recycled? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, look, Kulan b'rivi'it, yayin, chalav, and dvash, the special shiurim that we say, well, it could be a little bit of water, enough to mix with the kilor, but that's only if that was the specific purpose for which you set aside this water. That's lamatzni'em. So over there we're saying, okay, what would be the minimum amount that even you, who set it aside for, would not be looked at as being an idiot? There's still a minimum amount. That would be kidei. To mix with the shuv b'emet akilor. But for a regular person who's not thinking about kilor, that's not the shear. The shear is really eat. Okay, we'll get into these books of tomorrow. Let's just see what it means with kedei mizigat hakotz, because you haven't really told us very much about kedei mizigat hakotz. What kotz? Tana, kedei mizigat kotz yafa. A really nice kotz. That's a big help. A really nice kotz. How does that mean? Like it's pretty. What does that mean? My kos yafa, no. Kos yafa is the way we refer to the kos shel bracha. And the reason we refer to a kos shel bracha like that is because, as we saw in brachot, you're chayev liyafoto. You have to make it beautiful. And beautiful meant many different things in the Gemara over there. Remember, there was Ituf, there was Hadoch, you have to have your Talmidim around you, you have to have other Kosot around it, or it has to be washed out first, but one of the things that is called beautiful is that it's full, and that it's brimming, and that there's enough for it to drink, and that was, Rabbi Barabo says, a Kosho Bracha has to start with a Rova Revi'it of wine, in order that when you mixed water with it to make it drinkable, you'll be mosgeno, and then you'll have a revi'it. And that's the point of the Mishnah. The Kedem Zigata Kos is 25% of the shear of revi'it, which is the required shear of the Koshel Bracha. Why 25%? Because a normal mizug, we'll see this is a machloket, a normal mizug would be 3 parts water to 1 part wine. The Ot Klala Keramru, Kola Kasher Latznia, Umatznim Kamo, in terms of the shear, Votzio B'Shabbat Chayav Chatatala, V'choshe'eno Kasher Latznia, V'ein Matznim Kamo, or Ein Matznim Kamo, here it means or. In the beginning it meant and. But in terms of the p'tur, it's either or. If the material is not something that people generally feel, or you're not matzniya, and votziu b'shabbat, inu chayav ela ha-matzni'o. Kol ha-kasher la-tzniya, as opposed to what? I mean, if you're taking it out, it's got to have some purpose. La-fuki mai. Rav Pop amr la-fuki dam nida, mar ukfa amr la-fuki atzei ha-shira. So ma'adi amr dam nida, koshken atzei ha-shira, which you're not even allowed to use. Mandi Omer Atzeh Shira, because you're not allowed to, and only that, but Dam Nida, if you take it out, it's considered to be something that you would be Matzniya. Why? Lashunra Ve'ida, so why indeed is that not a usage? Because people don't do it. Given the Cholsha, lo mitznale. Om Rabbi Yezim Rabbi Chanin, I had a look at Rabbi Shima. Dik Rabbi Shima, no Omer, lo Amru Kalashirin Lalalu, Ela la Matzniya. V'chol she'eno kasher la'atznia, Omer Rabbi Elazar, ha'ad elok Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the Tanya, klal amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, kol she'eno kasher la'atznia, ve'im atznien kamo, v'uchshar lezev mitznio, even if somebody else comes along, v'otzio, nitchayav ze, b'machshav ha'shal ze. Hamotzi tevin kemlo pipara, atza kemlo pigamal, amir kemlo pitwe, asavim kemlo pigadi, aleshum alebitzalim lachim kigrogeret yveshim kemlo pigadi. None of the above are mitzvah from zeim zeim mipnei shalosh shavu b'shiure. My atza, omer Rav Yehuda tevin shal mini kitniot. Ki ata Rav Dimi omer hamotzi tevin kemlo pipara legamal. Rav Yochanan omer chayav. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish omer patur. Well, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, but words. But Letzafra, he had karot and hadabe. Om Rav Yosef, good thing he did. Shapir avadad, adalo chazil gamal. Om Rav, on the contrary, you should never change his mind. Can mikar mistava. It's chazil upora, and that's what defines it, not your particular act. Elakiyata Ravin said, in fact, you have it all wrong. And what it was referring to is the opposite case. Amotzi tevin. Kimlo pi para legamal. Kuli amalo pligi de chayev. Ki pligi bamotzi atza kimlo pi para le para. And the whole machlok is from the other direction. Rabbi Yochanan said that you're potter. Rish Lag said you're chayev. Rabbi Yochanan said you're potter because that's not makshavit as the shir of achil of a para. The fact you get the para to swallow it by starving it enough, that's achil ayideat chak. And you can't measure that as a shir of achilas para. Lav shma achila. Rish Lakish omer chayav achila deyat chak shma achila. Amir kimlo pitle. Vatanya kigro geret. The same thing. Yidimidikat shira. We just want you to know the basis of the shira is that it's usable by a tle. Ale shum ale bitzilim. If they're lakim, it's kigro geret. If they're vashin kimlo piagdi. Ve'im it's tarfim zem zem bipnei shalosh shavu. But they would be mitzarfin kal shemem, would they? Kol de lo shavu b'shiurei mi mitzarfin at all? V'atzan abeget shlosha shlosha hasak arba al arba'a ha'or chamisha chamisha hamapatz shisha shisha or all in terms of tum'at mishkat. V'tani Allah beged v'asak, asak v'ha'or, ha'or v'ha'mapat, specifically in that order, according to Tosfos, are mitstarfim ze imze. V'amar Rabbi Shimon, why? Mipnei sheruim l'tamei moshav. But that's the only reason. Time of the ruim l'tamei moshav. Aval en roi l'tamei moshav lo. So how do you explain putting together two separate things here? Omar Rava Hokinami Chazya Ledugma. So somebody's got a store in which he's selling these different types of foodstuffs for animals. He would also like to use them all as little samples, and he would put them out on the samples of his feedster shop. Hamotzi open gigogeret chayav mitstarfim ze imze mibnei shishavu b'shiurehen chutz miklipatan v'agarinehem v'uktzeyem v'suban umursanat. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Dona, not everything. Klipe adashim you could include in the shir shemit pashroti mayhem v'suban umursan. People don't put into their dough lo mitstarfim v'atzlan chameshit revayim kemach v'od." Why is that good enough for challah and not good enough for the shear of Shabbos? Because challah is chalata aretz, and an ani is ochel pito even with dirty isabalusa without removing all the mursan and subin. Rabbi Yeraimer, chutz miklipe adashim amid bashlot imayem. But is it only adashim? And you're telling me what pea soup is pretty common, isn't it? Why is it that elsewhere, polin lo, vatan Rabbi Yeraimer, chutz miklipe polin vadashim? How come over here doesn't mention the polin? Lo kasha, here, it would have included polin, it was saying bechadat, our mishnah, is beatike. Well, what do you care if it's a TK? My time, oh, why wouldn't you put in a soup? Rabbi Abom, nation near ink is vuvim bekaran, therefore people filter it out. Hadron alok, klal gadol. Hamotzi, yayin kidei mizigata kots, chalav kidei gimia, devash kidei litena lakitit, shemen kidei lasuch ever katan, mayim kidei lashuf behemet akilor, vishaar kol hamashkin, beriviit, and even shofchina beriviit. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kulam Berevi'it, these particular cases are special cases. Lo Nemru Kol HaShiurin Halalu Ela L'Matzni'ehem. Tana, Kedei Mezigat Kos Yafa. What is a Kos Yafa? Kos HaBracha. Omer Reb Nachman Omer Rabba Baravohu Kos HaBracha Tzor Shebo Rova Revi'it Kedei Shim Mezigeno V'yamod Al Revi'it Omer Rava. Yes, yes, that's the Mishnah. Avanan Amitinina. Hamotzi yain kedem is yigat kos, v'tani Allah kedem is yigat kos yafa, and the Mishnah makes it very clear that that shear has got to be revius, because it says sharkal amashkin berevius. And since this is Rava following his own taste in wine, l'taimei, yama Rava kol chamer lo dori alcha tlat maya, it's got to bear a 3-to-1 water relationship, you know, otherwise it's not even called wine. Lav chamerahu, therefore, ergo, the Mishnah is telling you that the Shiva Kosha Bracha is Revi'is, and the Shiva of the Hotzav, it is the Rova Revi'is. So the Mishnah says that if it's not Kosha Latznia, then only the individual who actually was Matznia, it would be Chayev if he took it out. Omer Rabbi Elazar, how to look, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. This is clearly not going according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says in the Braisa, Tanya, Klal Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that if something is usually not set aside to use, or it's the shear that isn't set aside to use, and someone set it aside, and then someone else takes it out and is motziyat, he is chayat, even though he wasn't the one who was matzniyat, because the shiur relates to its usability, not its usability by you. And since someone has determined that it's usable, that's sufficient. Whereas the Mishnah says that the hotzah is a meleches machsheves that refers to the individual who did it. And if for him it was important, then it's machsheves and it's creative. And for somebody else, it's unimportant. What's the nafkamina if some person elsewhere in the world thought it was useful? And so the Mishnah is clearly not following the sheet of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Hamotzi teven kumolei pipara. Now, it's interesting that in Klal Gadol, we had two Mishnayos. One was the Klal Gadol, and one was the Ot Klal Acher Amru. Now we seem to be getting off the topic, right? In other words, we're starting to say, okay, well, here's how much Tevin you're chayev, here's how much Otza you're chayev, and then the next perek, which begins with Hamotzi Yain, Kedei Mezigas Hakos, and so on and so forth, doesn't have, there's no way to differentiate between it and Klal Gadol. That's Mamonovshach. If we're going to put this, the individual shiurim in a separate perek, then we should have started now. As after the klalim, we should have moved on to the protim, which is the next perek of Amotzi Yayin. And if we considered all of the details of the shiurim to be part of the approach to the klal, then we should never have created the eighth perek, which is Amotzi Yayin. It just seems to be more a mishnayos of the same. But the truth is that if we pay close attention, we'll see that these two mishnayos that follow of Hamotzi Tevin and the one in Amid Beis of Hamotzi Ochlin do have a klal in them which would be applicable to everything, and I think that's why they're included here, even though they appear on the surface to be only details. And we'll point out what that is. Hamotzi Tevin Kamolik Bipara. So someone who takes out straw, it should be enough straw that would be choshev for a para to have one bite of. Otza, kemolik pi gamal. The Gemara says that otza is the equivalent of tevin on various legumes, not on greens. So that there, since that is something that is not roi for a para to eat, but gemolim do eat it. But gemolim have bigger mouths than paras, so you'd have to take out enough to fill up the mouth of a gamal. Amir, Kimole pi tle, and amir is also a type of straw, but it's a straw that comes off of the top of the grain. It's not the stalk of the grain. It's like a little hair-like things that stick out from around the wheat. So that is softer, and that's ra'ui to be eaten, even by a tle, which has a much smaller mouth than either a gomel or a para. So you would be chayav, in other words, it's more chomer. You'd be chayav on a lesser shear. Asabim, just grasses, kimalei pi gedi. That is suitable even for the mouth of a gedi. A gedi is smaller yet than a tle. Alei shum valei betzalim, leaves of garlic or of onion. Lachim, if they're wet, then the shear is kigrogeret. That's like a dried fig. So the shear of grogeret is the shear for all ochlim that humans eat. And therefore, the Zalei Betzolim and Alei Shum are not animal foods. They're roi even for humans. Yiveshim, if they're dry, so then they're roi to the Gedi again. And that would be a shir kimole pi Gedi. Right, so now here we have a case where even something which has one shear, it can vary depending on whether it's in a state where it's soft or in a state where it's a little harder. Ve'ein mitztarfim ze im ze mipnei shelo shavu b'shiurehen. I think this is the point of including the Mishnah here. In other words, that we need to know that in general, even though all of these are ochlim, that you cannot be mitztarif things that have different shiurim and say, well, I took out half of a shear of, let's say, Tevin, and half of a shear of Otza, so let's put them together. And now we have a full shear. Of course you would ask, I mean, isn't that ridiculous? Of course you can't, because you don't have anything that's suitable for either. Right? In other words, one thing is camel feed, and one thing is cow feed. So what Avi mean is there that a chatzi shear is going to be mitzdarif, if then it's not suitable for the camel or for the cow. Right. So Tosa says that you'll have to say that when they're mixed, they then become roi, because the other animal can eat it, agav, the main feed stuff that's in there. So that isn't the problem. The problem is that something that is not shavu b'shiurim, and it is a klal, is never been started. My otza, what does the mission mean when it says otza? I'm reviewing a tevin shomini kitnios. It's the equivalent of tevin, except in kitnios instead of tvua. Kiyosar of dimi omar, hamotzi, tevin, kimole pi para legamal. Let's say that somebody is taking out tevin, but his intent is literally to take out the tevin in order to feed to a gamal. Now, a gamal requires a larger amount of food to fill up its mouth once. And we had other shear than our gamole pi gamal. So over here, you take out the teven in its normal shear, which is gemolei bipara, but you're not going to feed it to a par. You're going to feed it to a gomo. What would be the din? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, you're chayev because you took out teven gemolei bipara. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Potter. And Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, well, but since what you did was take out something in a way that wasn't really useful, so that's not considered to be Ha'otzah, because Ha'otzah has to be something that is meaningful. B'yurtam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, now that's what Rabbi Yochanan said in the evening. But Letzaf Rahod Arbe, by morning he had Charata and agreed to Reish Lakish. Om Rabbi Yosef Shapar Avadahadar, says Rabbi Yosef, it's a good thing that he changed his mind. Dolo Chazi Lagamo, because what kind of nonsense to say it should be Chayev if what you took it out for it can't be used. Om Le'abai Adarabe. I think just the opposite. Gidami Karamistar was much more reasonable what he first said. Because the shiurim that are mentioned in the Mishnah are universal shiurim. They're not shiurim in terms of a specific otzah. The Hadal Chazi Lepara. Why would we take the specific case, I mean, if we're going to use the specific case, and don't give me shiurim? What are these shiurim? Somebody's taking out stam? What's stam mean? Why does somebody carry out a mole pipar of tevah? So therefore, it's a bayah that seems to me exactly the opposite. What Rabbi Yochanan said is logical. That the Mishnah gives a shear, the shear applies under all circumstances. I don't understand what Rish Lakish was talking about. Actually, when Ravin came, he said, you got this whole thing reversed. Of course, if you took out the shear of a mole pipar, you'd be chayav no matter what you took it out for. Even if you took it out to feed a gamal, that's not our business. Because Lamaitza, what you took out is something usable for people in normal usage. The machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish was completely different. Ki plige b'motzi otza kemolei pipara lepora. Our question was like this. Otza is normally considered to be, and that was the legume straw, that was normally considered to be a food for a gong, not for a para. You decided that you're going to train your para and it's going to eat otza. You don't intend to buy all of this expensive tevin for your para, right? So, okay. So you take out a mole pi para of otza, and there you have a specific usage in mind. So it's kosher for you. So the shaila is whether now that I take something out, and I need it, I'm going to use it. So for me, it's kosher. And the machlokas was not the way you said it, but it was the exact opposite. Ibcha itma. Rabbi Yochanan amar potter, Reish Lakish amar chayav. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Potter, because the usage itself, says Rabbi Yochanan, is not considered to be a valid usage. It's botla daita. Because achila yadei atchak lo shemo achila. Eating something that is not a normal foodstuff, and you're going to push that this should become a foodstuff, that's not considered to be a shir that's chashav. Because there are certain things that violate norms to such an extent that we say, botla daita itzokolada. So over here it's botla daita itzokolada. People don't use otza for this purpose. Mamela, it's not considered to be a choshev otza. Reish Lakish amar chayav, achila yidei atchak shma achila. Since, if it's usable, a maisa, and it's going to be eaten, we don't say batla daita, because even though you have to push in order to get a parah to eat this, nonetheless, achila is achila. Incidentally, Tosis points out that Lagabe, those of you who recently learned Baba Kama will remember that over there was no question that achila yidei atchak was shma achila, was not considered to be mashuna for an animal to eat something that's not normally eaten, so that it should be considered keren, it was considered shame. This does point out that has nothing to do with the issue over here. We're not talking about butla dait of the para, we're talking about butla dait of the other, who's miyachid it for his para, and it's like I mean, Ezekiel, and maybe it's not called mishuna, but it's also not called a choshev hotzah. Can't compare the usage of the word achila yedetchak in these two sugyas. They're completely different criteria.
Shabbos as well. Machal ben drusha is not normal. It's
for bishul.
Yeah, that's not normal.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't know whether it's not called achila yedetchak.
It wouldn't be eaten except al yedetchak. It is.
Well. Yeah, depends for whom. Okay, fine.
Why did Rabin Menachem have to change the shita?
Omer kamolei pitzle. Vatanya kigro geres. Wait a second. We have a braisa that says that amir, which is the soft little straws that stick out of the top of the grain, is a shear of grogeret, which implies that it's the Shira to be Yichud for Michael Adam, which is always Gro Geret. No, since it's the Gemara, it is not Shira. The Shira of Gro Geret is the equivalent of Molly Pitlev. Aleishum the Alei Betzalim Lachim Ki Gro Geret. The Aveishim Ki Molly Piagdi, which is smaller than Ki Molly Pi Hatlev, and not the same as the Gro Geret. The Ein Mitzdarfim Zem Zem Mipnei Shaloshavu B'Shiure. Om Reb Yosi Bar Chanina. Don't take that Mishnah literally when it says that you can't put two together. It's only that Ein Mitzdarfim L'Chamusha B'Hem, Aval Mitzdarfim L'Kalsha B'Hem. When the Mishnah says you can't be Mitzarev two different types of things, it doesn't mean you can't be Mitzarev at all. It means you cannot add something which has a shear that is more Chomur, but you can certainly be Mitzarev something which is Kal as long as you use the Chomur at the same level of shear that you'll need for the cows. In other words, you can't have a lesser amount by adding, let's say, some amir to what would be roy to a pipora, right? Because amir is really only roy legomel and you require more amir to be mashlim the shear. But you could be mashlim the shear of amir for a gomel with tevin for a pora, right? Because in tevin you're going to be chayev. It's the chomer thing. You're be chayev on less of it. And here I'm adding it for a shear of a cow, so it should be able to be mashlim, the shear of a cow. What? Cholo shava b'shiurai umi mitzdarfin? You mean to say that that's the only problem? The Mishnah only means to say that, well, you can't use something that you normally would require more of to be mashlim, something that you require less of. But of course you can be mitzdarf two things as long as you take the larger shear. But we know, from elsewhere, that there's stam is a halacha that if things don't have the same way of being measured, that there's no way of putting them together. Because doesn't it say in the Mishnah that habeged shalosh al shalosh, or asak arba al arba, or chamesh al chamesh, or mepet shesh al shesh? So these are various shiurim for Kabbalah's tuna. So you have 3x3 for normal beged, sackcloth you have 4x4, leather clothing 5x5. And for a straw that you're going to use as a mat, 6x6. V'tani Allah, and we said over there that habeged v'asak, asak v'ha'or, ha'or v'ha'mefetz, mitztarfim zeim ze, v'yomer ebishim matam, mipnei shiru'ugin mitamei moshav. That Mishnah there says, that here's an unusual case, where things that have different shiurim, you could add each thing to the one beneath it. You can't go two, as Tosis points out, because they're not normally combined. As you would not normally combine a beged with straw, but you would combine leather with straw. What would be the reason that you could be kabbal tumah on something that was a mixture of two sizes? Says Rabbi Shimon, because if you needed to make a patch on your donkey's ukav, then you would make a patch with it and sit down on it. So that means that it's roy to be mekabel tumas Moshe. Once it's in there, it's not bottle diet, because you're not mocked on what you're making a patch out of. The important thing is that you can combine these things and they get together and you can use it. So since they will be metame Moshe, so already we can be mitzarek them to be mekabel tumas. So you see from there that the only reason that we were able to be mitzarek two things is time adurui and latame Moshe, is that we found a situation in which these two things are roy to be put together. Even though normally it would make no sense to have something that was half this and half that. It's either going to be this year or that year. So now over here in our case, it doesn't make any sense to have something that's going to be half Amir and half Tevin. So therefore, what Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina claimed, that the Mishnah doesn't really mean it's not Mitzarev. It is Mitzarev. The Mishnah only meant it's not Mitzarev to the smaller shear, but if you had more of it, it would be Mitzarev. This Mishnah says you're wrong, because this is the only reason you can be Mitzarev things if you find one area, at least, in which it would make sense for someone to be Mitzarev them. Where does it make sense to really be Mitzarev Amir and Tevin? Omar Rava, I'll explain to you what Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina meant. Hachinami Chazi Ladugma. Over here also, I can find an area in which it would make sense to put them together. Supposing somebody's going around selling this stuff. So he's bringing samples. Right? So he's a feed salesman. So he goes into the farmer. He opens up his little book. Right? And there he's got a real beautiful display. He's got some Tevin lined up and some Amir lined up.
some kosh lined up. It's wonderful. And he takes his orders, right? So over there, there is a place where they would be mitzarif, and it would make sense. So Mela, once you'd be mitzarif them, Rabbi Chanina is saying it's no different than the shir of Beged and Or, let's say. And therefore, Beged and Sak, therefore we can be mitzarif them here too, as long as you have the more formative
Gashir. What's the
seal?
What's the seal?
What do you mean, what's the seal? To carry them. If I want to sell Mitzoy Shabbos, right? So I have an appointment with this guy, Mitzoy Shabbos. But I live too far away. So, no, not so much, but I'll walk out on Shabbos. I'll be ready for the appointment, Mitzoy Shabbos. So it's important for me to be Motzias. So it's possible to think of a case where I should be Mitzar of samples of different types of things. So the Mela, once already, I can do that. So now I can fill, as long as I fill the larger shear, it's okay. Hamotzi ochlin kigrogeres chayim. If somebody takes out ochlin, this means human edibles, so there the shear of anything is the shear of a grogeres, which is a dried fig. It's machlokes exactly how much a dried fig is. I guess some say that it's 3/9, meaning 1/3 of a beitza, and some say that it's 4/9 of a beitza. There's a machlokes we showed him in how to measure the grogeres. But in any event, this is the shir that's considered to be choshev, more than a shir stam of achila, but a shir of an achila chashuva legabe hotso. And since they have the exact same shiur, therefore they can all be mitzarif because the same criteria is being applied to all of them. Chutz, except that we don't include in the measurement of the grogeret the klipatan, garinehem, uktehen, suban, umur sanan. We would not include the shell or the pit inside, or the oketz where the pre is attached, or if we're talking about grains, we would not include either the suban or morsan. The suban or morsan are both are types of I don't know what are they called, brands I guess, but one is the suban. It comes off with the katisha that we talked about. We have to grind it off. I think it's called the endosperm. It's that little, the little membrane that goes on the outside of the grain. And the morsan is what's left behind after you go through the sieve. So those tiny little hairs and so on, that's called the morsan. Actually, the Rambam reverses it, but it doesn't matter. The point is that both of these things are not the whitest of flour. And so Mamelo, we're not going to include them in the shear, because no normal people would want to eat whole wheat bread. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chutz mikli pe'ad ashim shemit bashloti mem, cross out of that. In other words, you're right, that normally we would not include all of these things, but when it comes to adashim, lentils, then people like to keep in the little shell around the lentil, because it gives a good tom to it when you cook it, and therefore it's choshev to keep it with the adashim. Asks the Gemara, b'suban u'mursanan lo mitztarfin. You mean to say that we would not include in the grain suban and mursan? V'atnan chameshes revoyim kemach ve'od chayovim b'chala. It says that the shear of chala is 5 revoyim of kemach, plus a little bit more. And the Gemara there discusses exactly what that shear is. But you have that much flour in your dough, you have to take off challah from it. And the dough includes hain uvzuban umursanan. So you see that lagabe the shear of challah, we do include suban and mursan. So why should we not include the suban and the mursan over here when it comes to achilan Shabbos? How could it be included as lechem haaretz, which is the way the Torah puts it, and not be included in the shear of atzah? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Shikin Oni Ochel Pitobi Sabalusa. Because a poor person is willing to eat whole wheat bread. Because he's saying he can't afford to buy good bread. So Mamela, he'll eat dirty bread, essentially. So therefore, in terms of Lechem Aretz, it's considered to be Lechem Aretz. But in terms of Hotzah, where we're looking for Chashivas in the Hotzah, unless someone was Matzniya specifically, it's not considered to be Choshev, because there's not enough here of valuable grain to take out. Adashim, so it says, Rav Yehuda Omer, Chutz Miklupei Adashim, Hamit Bashlot Imahen, that there you should include the shear of the shell together with the adashim, because it adds good taste to the tapshim. So do you mean to say that that's the only case which is not part of the general rule, that we should not include the skins? How about peas? Adashinin polin lo, v'tani Rabbi Yehuda omer chutz miklit b'polin v'adashin. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say elsewhere, in the Brice, he says, and when it comes to peas, then the shells of the peas also should be included, because people like to make pea soup together with the shells of peas. So why over here does he say, dafka lentil soup, you'd want to include the shell? Look, Kasha, depends whether you're talking about fresh peas or old peas. Atike, my time alone, why would people not want to use the shells of old peas? They look like little bugs in the soup because they turn black when they get old. So nobody wants that in the soup because you're always sitting there staring, what is that? So Mela, you're going to make sure you won't put it in. So there it's not considered to be otokashu. Hadron loch klal godol. And here too, the question of which parts are included, that's klipos, garin, and so on and so forth, is a klal and how do we evaluate foodstuffs and how to look at the chashivas of the foodstuff. Mamela, I think that's the reason we included a klal godol. Now we get into the very specific yotzos, different germs to get at, of course, as specific as they are, obviously they're just general, but nonetheless they're specific and they give us an idea of what type of usage we should be makshiv for each type of thing. Someone who takes out wine, and this is referring to wine which is raw wine, for some reason, I wish I knew what the reason was. For some reason, we have no such thing. There's no such thing as yayin chai in our times. All wine is drinkable. They make wine and it comes out of the barrel and it's drinkable without mixing with water or anything else. It's completely drinkable as it is. So at the time of Chazal, the wine was not drinkable when it was made, and it needed to be three quarters water before you could even drink it. It was so strong.
Was it the grapes were different?
I have no idea. I don't know enough about the process to understand what they used to do different. I mean, it's an amazing thing. What? No, it was specifically discussed as dehydration elsewhere.
And fermentation.
It must be different fermentation, but I just can't understand.
If it stays in a barrel of clay, maybe a lot of the humidity is.
I don't know. Listen, it could be this. I just don't know.
Wine like this.
You've seen wine like this?
Yeah, and it's
in a clay barrel.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe.
Then it's
like wine. I mean, chrome or green wine, and it was like this. It was very thick syrup. One barrel.
But you put in sugar.
They water it down heavily.
Did you put in sugar in your wine? Yes, of course you did. All the homemade wines are all sugar.
It comes from a thick syrup.
That's why, because it's all sugar. But they didn't put sugar in wine.
He's talking about a factory.
Is that about a factory or you made wine yourself?
Oh, a factory.
So you say it came out very, very thick?
Yeah, the way they make like the Concord grape wine, it first starts in a barrel. And one barrel costs $2,000. From that one barrel, they make a tremendous amount of wine because it's so thick.
As in my tummy.
Okay,
it's very concentrated.
Okay, but there too, the Concord grape wine is not real wine. It's a sugar thing. That's very nice, weird. So the shear is k'dei mezigas hakotz, which is enough of this raw wine to put into a kotz, which you can then add water to have the shear of a full kotz. Of course, we don't know what that full kotz is, but we'll discuss before what it is. And chalav k'dei gmiya, to take a nice gulp. Now, what in the world is a nice gulp? That's a good question. What is a nice gulp? So Tosis brings over the shitas of Rabbeinu Purad, that a nice gulp is Malay Lugmov, which would be more than a revius. He argues on him, though. It's Enonira. The Magid Mishnah brings in the name of the Rambam. Who knows? He says, we don't know what this year is. Enshiro Yidua Lanu. We don't know exactly what it is, but we can prove that it's more than a grogeres, just from the sugya. We can prove that it's more than a grogeres, but less than Molai Lugmov or Revius. Okay? That's somewhere in the middle, says the Magid Mishnah. Dvash kidei litein ala katitz. And honey, and here this is an interesting point, then honey, of course, is a foodstuff like any other foodstuff, but it has a secondary usage. Its secondary usage is as an antiseptic. So it's put on top of wounds. So since that's a smaller shear, wherever you have two usages of a thing, you know, both of which are reasonably common, naturally you're going to be machmer that the smaller shear now becomes kosher, because it would be kosher for the kosis. A kosis, Rashi brings two pirushim. One is that it's a wound on an animal. We had before about whether you're allowed to put on honey on a horse and so on. So it's a wound on an animal's back. The other is that it's the wound on the back of the hand or back of the foot on a human. Shemen kidei lasuch ever katan. Oil is enough to put on a small limb. What the shear of Eber Katan is, we'll see in the Gemara. Mayim, kidei lashuf behem etakilor. Water, again, all of these things are foodstuffs, but they have other specific usages. So water, you can be used as a solvent. If you have enough water to mix eyeshadow in, then, which is a very little bit of water, and you don't need the revius of water like other mashkin because you're using it for something specific. Bishar kala mashkin brevius. But anything else which is drinkable, the shear is revius. Bechol ha-shofchim and other liquids which are not drinkable are also brevius, because that's considered to be a reasonable shear for washing or whatever else you're going to do with it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says kulam brevius. I disagree with all of this. The shear of liquids is a revius. This business about dvash and shemen and cholov and so on and so forth, I say that lo nemru kol hashirim alalo ela lamatzniyehen, that you think that if somebody goes out and sets aside a little bit of this stuff, that he can just choose whatever usage he wants, and he'll decide he wants 1 gram of something, he'll also be chayav. That, I say, that's ridiculous. The shiurim that the Mishnah has given are minimum shiurim, so that if somebody needs it for this purpose, and is miyachad for this purpose, then he can become chayav. He, personally, can become chayav if he takes it out for that purpose. But a normal person who's not going to be taken out for this purpose, when somebody's taking out dvash, it's highly unlikely that he's taking it out for use as an antiseptic. I mean, let's be reasonable. So he's taking out the dvash to use as food. The shear of food is gurgogeras. And therefore, the shiurim, or you're not saying them correctly. They're all brevius. Tana, when it says here kidei mezigas hakos, that refers to kidei mezigas kos yafet, a nice kos. My kos yafet. What's a nice kos? Kos bracha, because the Gemara says elsewhere, and the Gemara said in brachas that kos bracha has to be nice in all kinds of different ways, right? It needs marika and shtifa, and it needs to be shalem, and it has to be filled, and that's called a nice kos. So Mimela, what's the shear of kosher bracha? Kosher bracha is revius. Amar Nachman Rabu, kosher bracha tzarech shear b'revius. Kidei sheyim zegenu, rov revius, kidei sheyim zegenu v'yamin al revius. So when we say that you need kidei mezigas hakos, since you use 3 parts water for 1 part wine, so that means it needs to be 1/16 of a revius, which is the rova revius, and then you can make it a revius, of a lug, not a 1/16 of a lug, not a revius. And then you can make it the revius, which is a quarter of a lug, which is the shear that we use for our yayin for the kosher bracha. And then now you know the shear of motzi yayin. In other words, all of the shear are really berevius, except for concentrates, where the shear is also enough concentrate to make a revius.